hear your word. I pray now, Lord, for those that have been affected by what happened in Las Vegas this past week, Lord, the families of those victims, Lord, and those who are injured. Lord, in this world, we look at things like this, and we have a hard time making sense of those things, but we know that you are a good and loving God and in control, and as we learned last week, that you are a God of justice, and we're thankful for that, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that you would just comfort those families and give them hope in you, because that's where true hope is found. So I pray now, Lord, that as we spend our time together, that that we look to what your word has to say for us and how it can help us to be better witnesses to our friends and family members and our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you know, we're in this series called Why, and basically the concept is trying to equip us to answer the questions that people have, whether it's a question about our faith, the Christian life, or the Bible. And basically what we're doing is we're trying to equip ourselves so that we can answer these questions. And so today, the question I want to answer is this: why do Christians seem so self-righteous, judgmental, and hypocritical? Have you gotten this question before? Or maybe this accusation: Christians seem so self-righteous, Christians seem so judgmental, Christians seem so hypocritical. So my goal is to not only answer the question, but also my goal is to teach us how to not be self-righteous, how to not be judgmental, and how to not be hypocritical. So this is a difficult line of reasoning, because sometimes we have questions that come at us that have more concrete answers. And the truth is people make broad generalizations, and they're based upon maybe a few situations that they've observed, or more often, they're based upon something they might have even seen in the media. So they take what they've seen, and they make a generalization across the board. So the first accusation that kind of comes our way is this: Christians seem so self-righteous, or in other words, they think they're better than we are. And you probably heard this accusation before. You probably heard people say things like this. So how do we answer an accusation based upon a generalization? And obviously, first and foremost, we have to say, you know, to the person, that might be your perception, but it's not the truth across the board. But I think there's a little bit more that we can do with a question like that. And the first is this: we can tell them that Christians are righteous because of Jesus. Christians are righteous because of Jesus. So if somebody says, hey, you know, you Christians seem so self-righteous, we can back them up and say, you know what? No, our righteousness comes from Jesus. You see, actually, we believe the exact opposite of self-righteousness. Do you realize this? We believe the exact opposite, because to be a Christian, the first thing that we need to do is admit that we're not righteous, right? We're actually saying, like, God, I realize I'm a sinner and I can't do this on my own. See, the message of the gospel is this: that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. That Savior's name is Jesus. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God, or that he is God. And the Bible says, all who believe will have eternal life. So the truth is, a person, a Christian, technically can't even be self-righteous, because they're actually admitting there's no righteousness in me. All the righteousness comes from Jesus. So I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And if you remember this, when we studied Romans, I guess it was three or four years ago, actually, now. And one of the things that we learned in Romans is that God took on Christ, Christ took our sinfulness and gave us his what? His righteousness. So when Jesus was on the cross, he was taking our sins upon himself, and he was giving us his righteousness. The problem that Paul was dealing with in Romans chapter 10 is that Israel, or the Jewish people, they didn't believe that. Okay, so here's what he says to them. He says, brothers, in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they may have zeal, that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So what Paul is talking about here is the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and he's saying, you know what? Their problem is they didn't recognize that Jesus was righteousness, that he came to give us righteousness. They were trying to achieve this on their own. So they were being self-righteous, trying to say, I can work my way into heaven. One of the biggest lies that's out there right now and will be pretty much till Jesus comes back is that you can do it on your own. Maybe you were even taught that. Good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. If you're really good, God accepts you and loves you. And if you're really bad, he doesn't. But that's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach a righteousness that only comes from Jesus. So technically, by definition, a Christian can't be self-righteous. We only depend on Jesus for our righteousness. But the truth is as Christians, we need to act like that. It's nothing that I've done, but it's everything that he has done. The next thing that you can tell people is this: Christians are dependent on Jesus. See, as Christians, one of the reasons why we come here each Sunday to worship is to remind us that we are dependent on Jesus. Do you realize that one of the reasons why you walk into the service and sing praise songs to Jesus and listen to his word is because you're actually saying, I don't have my act together and I need help. I don't have my act together and I need help. The truth is, Christians that attend a church that preaches from the Bible are less likely to be self-righteous because the scriptures remind us that we can't be righteous on our own. You get that? We can't be righteous on our own. But the truth is this as well. That's why we preach through the Bible. That's why we base all our messages on the Bible. We don't have sermons on political agendas. We don't have sermons on best-selling books. We don't have sermons on people's opinions and man-made philosophies. As a church, what we do is we stick with what the scriptures tell us because that's where not only our righteousness comes from, but that's where all our guidance comes from. It's not from man-made things. It's not from political agendas or anything like that, because all those things, what happens is real self-righteous people are the ones that think, like, you know what? I make up the rules. My opinions are the best opinions. Those are the real self-righteous people. And really, the real self-righteous people are the ones that are saying something like this: I don't need to do what you guys are doing, like church and stuff like that. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life because I can do this on my own. Have you ever met a Christian that says they don't go to church? Have you ever met those? I don't go to church. You know, I'll meet people and, like, you know, somebody will say, oh, I have this friend, they're a real solid Christian. And I was like, oh, cool. Where do they go to church? And they're like, oh, they don't. I'm like, really? And I tell them, quite honestly, that's not a solid Christian. It's not a solid Christian that, one, forsakes the gathering, but two, is not willing to say, you know what? I'm not righteous on my own. I need Jesus's righteousness, and each week I need to be reset and guided every week by God's scriptures. And I need to be under the authority of his scriptures and with his people, reminding myself that I don't have everything together. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking, you know what, I can do this on my own. God never teaches us anywhere in the scriptures that you can do this on your own. You can't be saved on your own. And guess what? Walking through life and growing in your Christian faith, you need others around you. God created us as his body to be together. The next accusation is this, and this is probably a little more common than Christians seem so self-righteous, and that is Christians seem so judgmental. Have you heard this one? Christians are always pointing the finger. Or they'll say this: I always feel that they are looking at me in disapproval and judgment. To some degree, I'm not saying 100%, but to some degree, we have to blame the media a little bit for this one. Wouldn't you agree with that? Okay, what the media does is the picture of Christianity is not an accurate picture, okay? What they do is they take the craziest stories and the weirdest Christians and they're like, look at the Christians, you know, and everybody's like, look at how they act. They're so weird. They're so judgmental. I would never want to be one of those people. For example, unless you don't pay any attention at all, you've probably heard of the Westboro Baptist Church. Have you heard of these people? These are the people that they protest military funerals, funerals of homosexuals. When a terrorist act happens, they'll say something like, yep, this is God's judgment coming right to you. That's those people. They hold up those signs that are hate-filled signs. They're a picture of a judgmental person, and they apparently call themselves a Christian. Let me just tell you, we're not affiliated with them in any way, shape, or form. And on a side note, I know this is true, only God knows the hearts of people. We know this is true, only God knows the hearts of people. But when I see what they're doing, two scriptures in particular come to mind. The first is in Matthew 7:16, and it says this, "You will know them by their fruit." Okay? So people will know we're a Christian by what comes out of our life. And when I see that, I see hate. So I'm like, you know what? Hate is not from God. And the other is in 1 John 4:7-8, it says this, "Beloved," listen to this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God." Think about that. The mark of a true Christian is to love. So when I hear groups like them or other groups say, we're on a mission from Jesus, I scratch my head and say, not the same Jesus that I love, not the same Jesus that died for me, not the same Jesus that I worship. They're fully deceived, and I don't know what they're doing here. But unfortunately, people will look and say, that's what Christians are like. That's what Christians are like. Now, that's an extreme case, but that's an extreme case that the media latches onto. But the truth is sometimes even without that, people feel, non-Christians might feel, that Christians can be judgmental. So why is this? Why is this? Well, I'm going to say there's normally three factors that contribute to the accusation that Christians are being judgmental. And the first can be on them, their personal guilt. Okay, their personal guilt. Sometimes people feel guilty about personal sin, and because of that guilt, they feel like everyone is looking at them and judging them. Have you noticed this happening to people? Maybe this has happened to yourself. You have this personal guilt, and then when you're around other Christians, you're like, oh, they're judging me. And the Christians are like, I don't even know what you're doing. Like, I don't know about your sins and stuff. I don't know what's going on in your life. But they, because of their personal guilt, feel judged. They feel like, oh, everybody's looking at me. Everybody knows what I'm doing. They're so judgmental. And I believe that's kind of like Satan whispering in their ear saying, yep, yeah, you don't want to be around them. They're pointing the finger at you. They see you. They know what you're doing. They think they're better than you, or whatever the lie that he's perpetrating in their minds. So Psalm 38:4 actually tells us, the psalmist says this, "For my iniquities," or sins, "have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." You know what? This is a picture of a person that feels guilty about their sin. And if they don't realize that they have to turn to Jesus in that guilt, sometimes they'll fall into the trap of looking at believers and saying, oh, yeah, they're judging me. They're judgmental people. So a lot of this might be internal. People might have this accusation against Christians because it's an internal struggle that they're going on. The second reason or second factor that people accuse Christians of being judgmental might just simply be our discomfort with their sin. Our discomfort. Have you ever been in a situation where people are doing something wrong and you're uncomfortable with it? And you can't even hide the fact that you're uncomfortable with it. And then they feel uncomfortable because they look at you and they're like, oh, he must be judging me or she must be judging me. But realistically, you're just uncomfortable with what's going on. You're not thinking like, oh, I'm pointing the finger at this person or I'm judging them. You're just thinking like, I'm not happy about this. This makes me upset. I'm not glad to be here, so to speak. See, this is normal. Do you realize this? Actually, in Ephesians 5:11-13, it says this, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. So what the scriptures are telling us is this. If you feel uncomfortable around sinful things, that's pretty normal. That's how you should feel. And actually, the scriptures there in that passage command us, say, you probably shouldn't have anything to do with that. You shouldn't have anything to do with that. And realistically, he even takes it to the next degree and says, you know what? You shouldn't even really talk about it. I know there's things that are out there in the world that, you know what? Just hearing about it or somebody telling you about it is very discouraging. So the truth is, sometimes people feel judged just because we're uncomfortable with what's going on. And maybe we're not judging them, so to speak, but we're not comfortable being in the same room or doing the same things with them because of the way that they're acting. But you know what? I'm not going to blame it all on them, because that wouldn't be right. Because the final factor is maybe you're being judgmental, okay? The truth is sometimes Christians can be judgmental. And I'll tell you, plain and simple, it's annoying, okay? It's very annoying to be around judgmental Christians, and here's why. Because it's not right, okay? It's not what God has for us. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, very popular passage when it comes to judging. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says this in verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, this is a popular passage about judgment, but there's a couple aspects that I want to focus in on. And the first one is found in verses 1 through 2, because it could be a problem for some people. Let's look at it again. He says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." So the question we have to ask here is this. Is Jesus saying we are only judged by God if we judge others? Do you think that's true? Are we only judged by God if we judge others? If you like, "Oh, I'm not going to say anything to anybody," Jesus would be like, "Okay, that's good. Okay, we're not going to judge you anymore." Okay? No, that's not what this is saying. I think what he's saying here is when you walk around pointing the finger at others, you better believe that when you slip up, game on. Okay? People are going to be like, "Well, well, well, look who's doing the wrong thing." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever thought like that? Somebody who's very judgmental and then they finally do the wrong thing? In your sick, twisted mind, you're like, "Well, well, well." We see how it is now, okay? I wouldn't suggest judging them back because you know it's the wrong thing to do. But Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. You walk around pointing the finger, you do something wrong, you better believe that that's going to be, you're going to be measured by the same thing. People are going to come back to you and they're going to start pointing the finger at you because you have set this standard for everyone else to live by, and now you don't even live by that standard. And oftentimes we find that a lot of times those people that are so caught up in judgment of other people, when they do something wrong, it's like way worse. It's like something that you're just like, "Man, I'm just shaking my head here. How did that person walk around and point the finger at all these other people?" But we know the truth, right? When we judge people, when we point the finger at other people, basically all we're trying to do is defer attention from us, right? "Oh, look what they're doing. They're so bad. Good thing they didn't see me," okay? That's what people are thinking when they judge. They might not coherently think that, but that's actually how they're responding and how they're acting. But the second is this. Being judgmental is paying closer attention to the sins of others and not paying attention to our own sin. That's the speck and the log concept. You're paying closer attention to what others are doing rather than paying attention to what you're doing, which brings us to verse 5, and he transitions to the final accusation against Christians, and that's this, hypocrisy. There seems to be so many hypocrites in the church. Have you heard this before? I don't go to church because there are so many hypocrites there. Here we have the practice what you preach issue, right? Here we have the practice what you preach issue. And this is a difficult one because we all want to practice what we preach. But you also realize that if you teach in any capacity, if you're a Sunday school teacher, Bible study leader, pastor, if you do that, the thing is God telling us, hey, you know what? If you don't have it 100%, don't teach it to other people. Is this what God is saying? I don't believe it is. Some of us wouldn't have many lessons, okay? Because the truth is none of us have everything 100% together. It doesn't mean we can't teach it. It doesn't mean we can't teach it. That's not the answer. But a person with a judgmental heart actually becomes a hypocrite because they're paying more attention, again, paying more attention to the sins of others rather than their own. That's what a hypocrite does. They pay attention to everyone else's sins, but they don't take care of their own. They don't pay close attention to their own soul. They don't pay close attention to their own Christian life. So Jesus is not telling us do not teach others to do the right thing if we're not 100% doing the right thing. He's teaching us to not be so hard on others because we fall short in different areas. We all fall short. So another accusation and criticism I've heard under this hypocrisy thing, and this is kind of a silly one, but I definitely have to deal with it, is, and I've heard people say things like this, people that go to church put a smile on and act like they have no problems. They're hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? Like, they come and they put a smile on, they act like there's nothing wrong. And the thing is, and this is part of Satan's tool of kind of making you feel terrible about yourself when you come into church, because you look around, you're like, everybody seems to have their act together. Well, let me just tell you a little secret. We don't, okay? None of us have our act totally together. We all struggle with different things. But the Bible never tells us, like, you know what, when you go in church, make sure you don't smile. Look like you have problems, okay? Guess what? We'd be a terrible testimony to the rest of the community if we came in here and all wore our problems on our face, wouldn't we? People would be like, I don't want to go there. I like the hypocrites better, okay? That's what they would say. The truth is, like we learned last week, remember, we can find hope in Jesus even in difficult situations. See, we all have issues and problems and things that we're struggling with and things that are going on in our lives, but we have an embedded hope and joy in Jesus. So it doesn't make us hypocrites when we put our best foot forward in social gatherings in church and smile and, as people would say, act like nothing's wrong. We realize something's wrong, but we also realize something's right. And that's that Jesus loves us and he gives us a hope beyond measure, someone we can depend on no matter what's going on in our lives. So if people accuse Christians of being hypocritical because we can muster up a smile and go to church on a Sunday even when our life is seemingly falling apart, that doesn't make you a hypocrite. That makes you a faith-filled person that realizes I'm where I need to be. You get that? See, the unbelieving mind doesn't understand that. They just look and they say, oh, look at them going to church, putting on a nice shirt, smiling, trying to get their family all together and this and that. But that's not how we think. That's not how we think. So the world doesn't realize this. So truthfully, a hypocrite is claiming to be something that you're actually not. I mean, by definition. And a person that struggles with sin and realizes it but doesn't broadcast it to everybody and wear every problem on their face, that's not a hypocrite. That's just a person that really has hope in the Lord. But you know what? These three attitudes are obviously not helpful in reaching other people for Jesus. And it's the truth. People feel this way about Christians sometimes. I mean, whether we like it or not, people have this accusation, whether they base it on a generalization from the media or whether they base it on something that they've seen in a Christian person. It's out there. So what do we do? What I'd like to do is I'd like to close with four ways that we combat these attitudes in our lives, because they could be very real things that happen to us. We can fall down that slippery slope of being self-righteous, being judgmental, being hypocritical. So what do? The first thing is this, is we work on our sinful behaviors. We don't pay more attention to other people's sins. We pay attention to what's going on in our own life, and we work on those things. We see what's going on, we see what we're doing, and we troubleshoot and figure out how we can have victory in Christ in those areas. Pay more attention to yourself than you do to the sins of other people. Because guess what? When you pay attention to the sins of other people, your sins actually grow and they get uglier. And it's not a good place to be in. It's not a good place. And guess what? Your sin's going to find you out. Your sin is going to find you out. Eventually, you'll start wearing that right on your sleeve. And your intention was to cover it up and to point everybody else's out. And now everybody clearly sees who you are and what you're doing. So the first step is, you know what? Just work on those things. Work on those things. And you know what? As a pastor, if I can plead with you to work on those things, it's going to make all of our lives a little bit better. It's going to make all of our lives a little bit better. Because guess what? When you go down the wrong path, when you turn your back on God, it's not going to be helpful to you. It's not going to be helpful to your family. It's not going to be helpful with your relationship with the Lord. It's not going to be helpful with your relationship with other Christians in the church. And it's not going to be helpful for any other relationship you have. God does not want you to go that way. You know, Romans 6, 12 through 14 tells us to not let sin reign in you, but let righteousness reign in you. So the first thing we have to do is, you know what? Pay attention to our own sinful behaviors. Work on our own lives. Don't spend all your days thinking about other people and what they're doing wrong and pointing the finger at other people. It's not going to be helpful. The second thing is, do what the Word says. James 1, 22 through 24 was a scripture reading today. It says, do not only be hearers of the Word, but be doers. If you're just a hearer, you're just like a person, the scriptures say, that looks in the mirror and then forgets what they saw. You look in the mirror, your hair is a mess, and you're just like, whatever, and then you just go out, okay? You fix what is wrong. You fix what is wrong. So you're hearing it. What the scriptures are saying is, go and do it. Respond to it. One of the most beautiful things about coming together each Sunday is we get something to do for the week for our spiritual lives. And you know what? I know it's easy to fall into this trap. Like, I heard it, I agreed with it, and then I left, and it was lunchtime, and I forgot it. Think about it. What are you learning, and what needs to change? And guess what? God will continue to reveal to you what needs to change. So do what the Word says. Be doers of the Word. The third thing is this. Don't add to the commands of God. Now, this is not a big problem in our culture right now. Actually, people just want to take away commands. Basically, people don't want rules. But, you know, in a more legalistic environment, which sometimes we can fall into as believers, is we can add to what God says. These are called man-made rules. Matthew 15, 7 through 9, Jesus actually calls them hypocrites. He says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. But then he says this, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You know what? We have enough here to go by, don't we? I mean, there's enough for us to go by. We don't need man-made doctrines. I'm so thankful our church does not fall into that slippery slope of legalism where we're adding stuff. There are churches that do that. Thankfully, it's not us, but we never want to even get there in our personal lives. We follow the rules and commands of the scriptures and nothing else. But then finally is this, have grace on other people. You know, I've heard literally hundreds of people's testimonies talking to me about how they became a Christian. And I don't think I've ever, ever heard this testimony. You know, this self-righteous, judgmental, hypocritical Christian came up to me and I was just like, that's what I want to be. Okay? It's never happened. Okay? It doesn't draw anyone. So we have to have grace on others. What I do here is, you know what? I felt love. I felt accepted. They had grace on me. I had nowhere to turn. They stopped by my house and they cried with me. They prayed with me. They were nice to me, even though they knew I was doing the wrong thing. They helped me in my deepest time of need. Those are the people we want to be. And guess what? Those are the people that God wants us to be. Those are the people that God wants us to be. And when we're those people, guess what? We become an effective testimony to the people around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each one here.